Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Kirill Sukhotsky, executive editor at Current Time. Kirill, thanks very much for joining me today.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for inviting me back.
All right. Today we're actually going to look a few weeks ahead, 3 weeks, in fact, to the nationwide vote on the constitutional amendments that would allow President Vladimir Putin to seek 2 more 6-year terms in office after his current term expires in 2024. Now, the vote had been scheduled for April, but it was postponed because of COVID-19. And a week ago, Putin rescheduled it for July 1st. This will be 1 week after the postponed Victory Day military parade, which I think is June 24th. Now, as I noted in my weekly article last Friday, the timing is raising eyebrows. Thousands of new coronavirus cases are being registered every day in Russia. I think it's been close to 9,000 the past several days. That's less than the high several weeks ago, which I believe was around 12,000. But amid lots of talk of peaks and plateaus, one journalist, Leonid Rogozin, said it seems like with these numbers, it seems like an endless plateau. And as for the vote, analyst Mark Galliotti said the decision to hold it on July 1st suggests either, quote, reckless impatience, unquote, on the Kremlin's part, or an awareness that things will get even worse. And here he means the coronavirus, the economy, and Putin's poll ratings, which have been falling in most cases for about 2 years, I think, and particularly since the coronavirus crisis began. Kirill, would you agree with either of those assessments of a reckless impatience or an awareness that things will get worse? What do you think is Putin's rationale in holding the vote relatively soon?
I think both of those statements are correct, and I would agree with them both. It's really interesting how Vladimir Putin is trying to rush the vote, which would prolong, if he wishes to, for him to stay as Russia's president until 2036. I think he's very annoyed that the COVID-19 spoil his plans and spoil his party. It was pretty much the objective reality that won over his plans, and this is one of the very rare things to happen during Putin's presidency. So he's now, first of all, rushing before it becomes... it's already been dragged down, and the system and the political elites, they do not know whether he's still keen on those amendments, whether the plan has changed because of COVID-19 and the subsequent hit that the economy took, what's happening. So he's kind of given a signal to political elites, and then he wants to wrap it up in the dead week of July and summer, where people are thinking very much about many different other things than politics. Also, the international community that would otherwise keep a very close eye on whatever electoral procedure that Russia has is now distracted by many other things as well. And also, sociologists do believe, and pollsters do believe, that the ratings of Vladimir Putin and his trust are on a very, very steep decline and slide. Some of the pollsters say that they are in the 20s, which is very, very far from the 70s that we saw during the Crimea's annexation over and before. Some people believe, and there is one guy who predicted mass protest in 2011-2012, his name is Soloviev, and he actually predicted a new unrest in the fall, because people will actually then start to understand that this whole thing damaged their own pockets.
Right.
So before that, he wants to wrap this up. And also, I don't know, for those who just did not follow closely Putin's actual announcement, it's very interesting that this referendum, or what they called vote, will be absolutely bizarre and different from whatever elections Russia held before. Russian elections were always, you know, a thing of the big enigma because of the way they counted votes and various falsifications. But this time, it will be almost farcical. The whole votes will last for a week, for 7 days. You don't need a reason to request a voting at home. So people can just request voting at home, and the electoral commission, they will just go to their residence. They can vote electronically in Moscow and in one other region in Moscow. Many independent observers believe that this opens endless possibilities of voter fraud and falsification, because observers will not be able to observe that. So pretty much the understanding is that Putin can hold this farcical vote, come up with whatever number that they want. And actually, some political analysts believe that the Kremlin wants actually the turnout to be low, because the rest of the people who did not actually turn up to vote, all those votes can be rigged and falsified, which makes the whole case easier. Because of the COVID-19, they do recognize the threat. They said that described an elaborate procedure how the voting will be, but they said that in any given hour of July 1st, no more than 8 people will be voting in any single polling station. So this is just begs a question: what is happening?
Right.
And this is pretty much the death of electoral system in Russia as we know it. Because the question is whether all subsequent elections will also follow that very worrying model. And one other thing, Steve, is the coronavirus situation. What Leonid Dragozin says about endless plateau is really interesting, because if you watch the official statistics, the statistics that many people doubt, there is an understanding that probably things are even worse than they are, because even in that probably not very accurate statistics, there is no dip in the rate of the cases. So it's about 9,000, as you said, for many, many days and then.
Yes.
So that means that there is probably no opportunity for Russian authorities even to play with that statistics to show that actually things are improving. Moscow's mayor just a couple of hours ago said that all lockdown restrictions are ending in Moscow earlier than planned. Just in a couple of days from now, on Friday, June 12th, Russian authorities will begin a one-hour-long PR campaign saying we've defeated coronavirus. But even that official statistics is not backing this up. And independent analysts believe that even that statistics is foul, because if you see the different regions, and you go to Krasnodar region or to Kursk region, and then you see that every day they record about the similar number of infections, 97, 98, 99, 98, 97. Those are clearly not the figures that are effectively on the ground. So somebody just writes them down and puts them into the national system. In the annexed city of Sevastopol in Crimea, every day there are exactly 2 cases of coronavirus. Day after day after day after day, weeks on end, there are 2 cases of coronavirus in Sevastopol. So I have questions about those statistics. And if that statistics does not improve, that does not sound very good about Russia's pandemic future.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, several very interesting things you bring up. I mean, one It sounds like if they're fudging the numbers, some people aren't being very creative about it. Writing the number two down every day, I think one thing that's happening with the numbers in reality is that there are a higher proportion of cases outside Moscow and maybe outside St. Petersburg. I think for the first several weeks, it was about half of the cases, new cases, were in Moscow usually. And now I think the last few days it's been more like, a quarter or about that, a third. So I think, that's one reason the caseload is going, down in Moscow, but is staying, the official numbers are staying quite high. And it is interesting that it seems to be sort of hovering right under 9,000 every day for a long time, but not going above 9,000. You have to wonder if that, I don't have evidence, but you have to wonder if that's a kind of a barrier they're not supposed to break. Another point I thought you made that was very good was about this precedent of the vote, in terms of just it's very different, as you say, from previous elections and votes and referendums. This isn't a referendum that have been held in Russia. So does this set a precedent for future, or is it kind of an exception, just the way that Putin's the ability of Putin to then seek two more terms is sort of an exception made for him? But I think, if you see, just I've seen some posters that say, it says Golosovanie, I think, which it has a different ring to it than, Vybory. Or referendum. It has a strange kind of sound to it, at least to my ears. It's some voting. And as you say, it sounds like...
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But at the same time, you can imagine that after they announced the great success of this voting, that they may want to say, okay, it was so successful. Let's see if this or parts of this can be applicable to the future elections.
Oh, absolutely.
And Russia's parliamentary election is next year. And there are usually all sorts of rumors. And, Russia is a country of many rumors and conspiracy theories, that there could be an early parliamentary election. It does not seem to be the case now, but even that, fall next year, fall 2021, it's an all-important Russian parliamentary election. So, the system that they introduced for this vote is highly suspicious, and pretty much you can't observe that system. You can't observe the veracity of the vote and its result.
Right. It sounds like there have always been plenty or several ways that votes could be falsified, the carousel voting and the voting at home, things like that, opponents of the Kremlin and experts say, allow for a lot of falsifications. But it does sound like this time, there's some new tools in the toolkit, I guess. And it does seem strange to have, I think you said for 5 days you can vote.
For 7 days.
It will be
7 days.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it will be the parade on 24th.
Right.
And on the back of that parade, the very next day on 25th, the voting starts.
And that's another thing you mentioned that I hadn't thought of, the idea that, it's possible that the Kremlin wants to kind of take advantage of, obviously Putin promised to have the vote this year when he postponed it in 2020. But, the idea that, there's unrest in the United States, everyone's eyes are on that, that might have been a factor, sort of in terms of one of the factors in the decision, let's get it over with or get it done sooner rather than later. And I think, and as you say, other factors include the idea that, the lockdowns are ending, but, the economic effects probably won't be felt in full until later. So, have the vote earlier. I'm not going to kind of ask you to predict the outcome, but it sounds like, they do have a lot of tools that they can.
They do, and the propaganda machine will kickstart in earnest. We know that some concerts are, you know, being prepared in favor of the Constitution. Then the opponents of the amendments ask the Central Electoral Commission whether they will be able to put up, you know, advertisements and billboards against amendments of the Constitution. And that was denied because they said, oh, this is not a referendum. So there is no promotional campaigns. There is no this thing. So only billboards for, they call it informational billboards, right, that this voting has been held. So that was denied. And you see that the American, even though the referendum was announced probably before the unrest in the United States, but the coronavirus is still consuming everyone. Now, the unrest in the United States totally keeps the world's eyes from what's happening in Russia with that little vote. It's very interesting how the authorities are trying to use that. Just last night, Russia's Channel 1, that's the main channel of Russian state television, showed an absolutely iconic movie from 1990s, which ends in a very popular song in Russia, which is called Goodbye America. Mm-hmm. And instead of showing closing titles on that movie, under that music, Goodbye America, they started showing a montage of unrest and protest in the United States. And that actually hit home very hard because this was a very kind of powerful message, quite twisted, but that this is, you know, the last thing the hero of the movie says, oh, we are going home from America. So he takes a flight from America, right, and then starts that music, Goodbye America, and you see the unrest and scuffles of protesters with police. And then it went into Russian state TV news broadcast immediately without even any introduction. So they blend this Americanophobia, and they're hugging up this also for domestic consumption to say, okay, we need those amendments for Constitution because they will make our state stronger, because do you want to see what is happening in America? That's the classic Russian whataboutism,
right,
that is being played on Russian electorate.
All right, absolutely. I guess... Of course, goodbye really in Russian means до свидания, which means till we meet again. So maybe it's early to say goodbye. But let's wrap it up here. Kirill, thanks. Very, very interesting insights. So thanks for joining me again today.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. I'll be back next Monday for another Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.